Hello and welcome back to the AFL Footy Fill-Up, your ultimate punting guide to season 2020. Now, we did say last week it was our second last show, but we've scratched that. This is our second last show. All right, we're going to do another one on Friday with this footy festival going around. But a lot of that had to do with the great feedback we had and lots of nice messages about people wanting to keep the show going. But that probably had to do with Jay's spit on the camera bet of the week. Devin Smith, 20 plus touches. No wonder people want the show to keep going, Jay, if you're going to be putting out stuff like that. So Talk us through watching Dev Smith.
Yeah, well, look, I'm not sure if you've played a lot of cricket, Kramer and Jacob, but sometimes, and I wasn't a great cricketer, that's for sure, but sometimes when they bowled you that little half volley outside of off stump, you didn't have to hit it that hard. You just sort of lean into it, and if you got the timing right, boom, that ball could absolutely rocket. And what happens, you know, you hit it so sweetly, you just think, that is flying. And your batting partner down the other end, like, they just silly, stupidly sort of start take off anyway and start running. And you just sort of put your hand up. You just say, don't bother running at all. And as Dev Smith had about 12 possessions late in the second quarter, I just, Jacob texted me. I just put my hand up and said, mate, stop running. He's better than you. Yeah. He's going straight to the boundary line. So I feel like I'm in a bit of form, boys. He easily did the 15 possessions. He did the 20 possessions. And he stepped on the Sharon about four times without picking it up, which would have cleared the 25 plus line, which was at $6. So, look, I'm having a bit of fun here with the bat. But, geez, that was mighty nice fill up, wasn't it? And did get a lot of feedback. Like, got a huge amount of messages. I got more messages over the past 72 hours than I do for my own family at Christmas time. So that was nice. And I'd like to say that we're back by popular demand on Friday, but we're not really. We're still getting the lemon and sauce. So anyway, we'll have a bit more fun over the next two shows and try and find a bit more money. But, it was an enjoyable night the other night when Devin Smith absolutely racked them up, because it's fair to say in the build-up I was starting to get a few messages and text messages, and I sort of wondered for a second. I saw him, he's named on the bench, and something he'd have gone a bit hard here, but no, absolutely, absolutely fine, and raced away to the boundary.
No, we had plenty of positive feedback there. It was very nice, but this show's not just about betting. We've also, a bit of eye candy with Jacob Wilson here. So, Jacob, you had plenty of girls messaging you from your side of wanting to keep the show. So talk us through, your weekend and having to deal with your wife talking about, what's going on? Why is your phone lighting up more than usual? Tell us
about that. I think there was a lot of feedback, but I would say that 95% of it was from males, and they were about 30 to 40 years old, so not really in my demographic, but I appreciated all the feedback. It was heartwarming. I got on Jay's Devin Smith 20-plus bet as well, so I cheered that one home. And there was a few people messaging me, a few of my mates do some betting as well. Like, how'd you get on at $2.50? How'd you get on $2.50? Because I do the show with you, Jay, and I got on. We finished the show at 10 o'clock. I got on at 10:01, got on. Yeah, the tip for the punters is get onto this show as quickly as you can, because by the time it got to Wednesday night, he was already into about $2, then he was into about $1.80, ended up about $1.70 for 20 plus. But don't worry, I got on at $2.50 bucks. I appreciated that. Great tip. Oh, my best one for the weekend was Luke McDonald to get 25-plus disposals.
Yes.
And I said the reason why he might get 25-plus disposals was from all his kick-ins. And guess what? The Suns helped me out. They had a terrible day in front of the goals. Luke McDonald kicked into himself, so just ran out of the square 11 times. That is a new AFL record. He ran out of the square 11 times to get 11 of his 27 disposals. He only had 16 in the field, but he still got to his 25-plus. So I thought I might just give you a few stats on the kick-in takers, because it is a real bonanza. If you can, one, predict who might take some kick-ins that didn't get them last week, and two, just understand the teams that are going to be inaccurate. So maybe coming up against Brisbane or Gold Coast, that's a real time to pounce. The one I'm looking at this week is Luke Ryan actually leads the league for kick-ins to himself this year. He's averaging 5 per game. He could miss. So if he misses, all of a sudden, all those kick-ins to selves at Fremantle go up for grabs. And the person second at Fremantle for kicking into themselves is going to be one of my bets this week.
Bit of a little teaser there. That's nice. Yeah, we did see a couple of things. I think with Devin Smith, he took a kick out early, and I thought, geez, we're on here. You know, we can rack up the stats with some kick outs. So it is very exciting. I will just say before we get into the games this week, with the shout outs, and I am paraphrasing here, but there was one message from, you know, a big fan saying, oh, yeah, loving the show. I really don't want to miss seeing Jay, Jacob, and Dicko every week. So, you know, he can't be that big of a fan if he's still talking about Dicko in the hosting chair and missing seeing Dicko every week. So, you know.
Dicko still played the feedback. Dicko was a big, that was his favorite thing of the week. He actually came back to us and said, boys, I'm still getting feedback about my work on the show.
Well, Dicko's still getting the royalties and still getting my paycheck. So I think, you know, he's still enjoying some aspect of it. We will get into the games for this week. It's a short fixture. We've got six games in the first half of this footy festival. And then obviously we'll do another show Friday with the next set. But the first one this week, it's the Hawks and the Crows. Now, the Crows coming off a bye, and the Hawks, they ran out of legs last week against the Bombers. A lot of people have talked about the possibility of the Crows' first win of the season. Jay, do you see it that way?
No, I don't. I was open to it until Hawthorn, until Alistair Clarkson named the oldest team of the century last night, bringing back Burgoyne, Stratton, and Frawley and Impey. So the president, Jeff Kennett, says he wants to see a youth policy, and Clarko says, no, Jeff, I run the show here, Cobloaf, and brought back more than 950 games of experience. So just looking at that team, I think Hawthorn at $1.40 is great multi-leg betting. So tonight, without going too far into this next game, I'm looking at a Hawthorn West Coast multi double your money. I think Adelaide, we've seen, you know, are a pretty poor side, and Hawthorn in its first half form against Essendon last week, and with all the oldies back, you'd think should get up here. So I'm not so confident on the line, but I think there's a little Tuesday night double your money multi bet play in store tonight.
Now, Jacob, on that the age debate with the Hawks, I presume they played a lot of old sides this year. So how have they been going in terms of backing that old side? I know you were the one who came out with they're playing the oldest side ever earlier in the year. So this week they've got another very old side.
Well, it's interesting because they had actually been declining in age week by week. So you looked at it from about round four to about round 13. Their team every week was going down in age. They were bringing in one more kid each week. And now they've just gone, no, we can bring them all back. Get the dad's army going again. So I'm with Jay. Hawthorn, I'm going to take them to the line in this one. It's only sitting at about 15.5 points. To lay the boots into the Crows, this feels like a bet for me where, you know, the bell's gone, the fight's over. You can just throw a few more punches into the Crows that have just been knocked out this season. Just remember how bad they are. They are last in the league for points. They're last in the league for points against. They're last in the league for contested possession differential. Last in the league for uncontested possession differential. Last in the league for clearance differential. Last in the league for tackle differential. Last in the league for inside 50 differential. Last in the league for inside 40 after. Last in the league for goals per entry conceded. 17th for goals per entry going their way, though. So that's a little bit of a positive for them. They're only 17th in that metric. This is a team historically poor. If you can lay the boots in while you can, you've got three more games that you can do this to them, or four more games where you can do this to them. Get on the Hawks, 15.5. The Crows have covered off their line in just two of their 13 games this year. And you can just take the Hawks at the line here.
Yeah, it seems like a bit of a moral there, and you can get about 475 for 40 plus if you're really keen. So there's a big way to start your week in the footy. The next game, and Jay, you touched on it, was the second leg of your two-leg multi, West Coast and Essendon. So comfortable win for West Coast, Jay?
Yeah, I'm not sure on a margin bet, but I think they've still got so much to play. I mean, clearly the big adjustment now into Queensland as they come back is some question mark. But when you look at that defence still with McGovern reigning supreme back there, Brass, I know Kennedy's out with concussion. Oscar Allen he's an exceptionally talented young player. He's almost Kennedy's equivalent, I think, at this stage of their career. So, look, I think he is a young star. I think West Coast have got far too much to play for. You look at Essendon's side on paper, and it looks like one of their strongest sides of the year. They get Heppel back, you know, Danaher still in the team. But I query, you know, how he's going to back up five days after. Heppel hasn't played in 3 months. I know Hurley's come back in, so I mean, Essendon weren't playing that well in that first half against Hawthorn. You thought Hawthorn was on track for a 10-goal win. So I still got a bit of question mark over the Essendon side. They'll try and play that forward handball game tonight. West Coast will want to intercept mark, drop off, lateral kick. So that style, it's going to be an interesting contrast of styles in those two games. But I think West Coast, as they hang on for dear life for a home final, will be good tonight. So I like the two favourites. It's a $2 multi altogether, West Coast and Hawthorn on a Tuesday night, $2 multi.
Yeah, the Bombers did look a bit of a different side with Joe Danaher back, but the Eagles, they're a different beast to what Hawthorn was last week. Jacob, how do you take this one?
Well, I just want to touch on one thing Jay said there, which is Oscar Allen. I'm equally a bigger fan of Oscar Allen as Jay is. And you can get about $2.50 for 2+ goals in this one. They've still got Bailey Williams in the team. And that means that Oscar Allen's going to play the Josh Kennedy role. And Bailey Williams, who is more of a natural ruckman, will play that 40% ruck that Allen has been playing in previous weeks. So expect, instead of seeing Allen playing high forward, bit of ruck, expect him to be playing essentially full forward in this team that should have a comfortable win. So to get him at $2.50 for 2+ goals is just about the bet of the week. The other one I'm liking in this one is Dom Sheed to get 20+. So I'm just going for a few props in here because I think West Coast do win comfortably. Dom Sheed, when they miss a midfielder, which they are at the moment with Elliot Yeo, he gets a full rotation in the midfield. He gets 100% midfield time. So last week he had a season high 26 disposals. He's averaging 23 disposals over his last 5 weeks. So I'm going to put that into a multi with a West Coast win, which can get you $2. And I'm also just going to have a big bet on Oscar Allen at $2.50 for 2+ goals.
So the best analysis in the business right there. You called him eye candy off the top of the show. The statistical god, this man. He just doesn't miss. Like, that's, you can't get any better than that. I mean, between his analysis and your jokes, Angus, when we're going to get to the snag stand soon. Can you believe this show's getting a flick? I'm shocked about it still.
No, the eye candy was more just off the cuff because I didn't think Jacob would understand the cricket reference, so I thought I'd just, you know, throw out something different to try and so it wouldn't go straight over his head. But we will push on to the Richmond Fremantle game next. And the Tigers are the new flag favourites. And Jacob, I know you touched on the amount that flag favourite market has changed, but the Tigers, are you buying into the premiership hype?
I am. As long as they can make the top four, there's going to be one team that misses out on the top four at this stage, whether it be, so it looks like Port Adelaide and Brisbane might be set.
Jacob, 14 teams will miss out in the top four, not just one.
No, there's only 5 teams in it at the moment, and there's one of them is going to be really disappointed, whether it be Brisbane, whether it be Port Adelaide, whether it be West Coast, whether it be Richmond, or whether it be
Geelong.
I think it's probably going to be one of Richmond or West Coast. So as much as I love them for the flag, I still don't think they're a lock for the top four. This is, for me, though, going to be a big win. And the reason is, we spoke about it last week, the four-day breaks. The four-day breaks have had a massive impact on teams this year. Teams are now 4-12. It's about 4 goals they've been worth to the team who's coming off the four-day break. Last week, we saw it again in a 50-50 match, which we thought was going to be going either way with Richmond and West Coast. It was a big win again for Richmond. Richmond, again, on the lucky side of this, Fremantle coming off the 4-day break, Richmond off a 6-day break. So just that enough for me is to get on Richmond 40+, $2.50.
Was this the game you said you had your big disposal one with Luke Ryan, the chance of missing?
Well, do you want to know the sneaky one here? It's Nathan Wilson. So Nathan Wilson to get 15+ disposals is the sneaky bet here. You haven't got the odds out just yet, but just he averages about the 15 mark. But I think he's going to take at least, you know, 3 to 4 kick-ins, and that's enough to make those odds, whatever they come out as being just super odd. So Nathan Wilson for 15+ disposals, you could even have a crack at 20+ disposals, but he's the one who should take the kick-ins if Luke Ryan misses.
Jacob Wilson for Nathan Wilson, no relation. And Jay, your thoughts on this one? Fremantle have fired half their footy department and all their players. So how will they go on this one?
Yeah, I know. I agree with Jacob. Luke Ryan, in All-Australian contention, he's been holding that defence together absolutely masterfully. They will try and be so slow with the footy. I mean, I know we sort of say this every week, but Fremantle, the way it defends is just to hold the ball and to keep it off Richmond, and we know how potent they can be on the turnover. So it's going to be an interesting pressure game because Richmond will really have the opportunity to press up and cause those forward turnovers and really put some scores on the ball, because we know that Fremantle like to possess the ball in that back half. And that's just sort of like dangling a carrot or a little fish just above the water for the great white to see. Nom, 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 like that. Or something like that anyway. So, I tell you what I like in this game, and that is some of the big boys to really capitalise in the air. So Lynch and Riewoldt for 2 goals each. I think they will have a superior aerial advantage against this Fremantle defence if Ryan doesn't miss. So been a lot of talk about Jack and Tom lately. 2 goals each for the two big boys gets you about $3.50. So I'll be looking for those two to really clunk some big marks against an undersized Fremantle defence at times. So I think there will be huge opportunity for the Richmond forwards in this one, as Jacob said.
You just know that in our WhatsApp group later, video editor Diesel will have cut up that little video of Jay making that sound with that that thing, and that'll be a nice little video we can watch later. The next one we look at is the Swans and the D's. Now, Melbourne edged out the Saints last week, and they sit 17.5-point favourites in this one. Jacob Wilson, what is your bet for this game?
I can hear some cracks going up the damn wall in Sydney because it's about to burst them. I think they're going to have a blowout game soon. They lost the clearance count by 20 in the first half against the Power. They're a mess inside. They're one of the worst clearance teams last year. They're one of the worst clearance teams this year. Their stoppage game, they don't have the pieces in there. Their ruck's a problem. Max Gawn could have 20, 25-plus hit-outs to advantage in this one. So I expect the stoppages to go their way. And why I think the dam walls are about to break is their defensive structure hasn't looked the same as well without Rampy down back. So they're just waiting for a game where the other team kicks those 15, 20 goals against them. And Melbourne are in a position where they need to do it. Melbourne are on that edge of finals and need the percentage boost that this match represents they could have. So at the moment, they're just a couple percent clear of the Saints. They're eyeing off that 8th spot on the ladder. So I think they're going to go in here for the kill. They're not just going to settle for a 10, 20, 30-point win. They're going to go for a 40, 50, 60-point win. So I'm going to take my best roughie this week as Melbourne 40-plus, paying $4.50.
Bit of value there. Now, Jay, you've stuck with the D's through good and bad this year, so I can only imagine that you'll be on the similar page with the D's.
Got them against St Kilda last week, $1.90. That was, I know it was tight in the end, but I was extremely confident on Melbourne in that one. Oh, that's the cricket bat just fell over. hey, I reckon this is the best betting game of the round. I cannot believe the line is only 17 points, and we can offend the traders now because they're giving us the flick anyway. So this is a shocking line, and this is where we take advantage, all right? So swing for the fence on this one, gamble responsibly. The 17-point line, I think, should be 25, 30 points. So Melbourne has the capacity. I mean, if it was a normal length game, you'd be thinking that Melbourne could win this by, 60, 80 points. So I think the line at 17 plus is the absolute anchor of the round. I think they should win this by 40 plus points. As Jacob said, the midfield power. I mean, Steve May, all Australian contention. I think the bet easy market for him for all Australian selection was $15. So if you got on there, well done, because he is having an excellent season, and they might get Fritsch back after sleeping through his alarm and missing training. So they've got the capacity to score heavily. We know that Melbourne, and they should absolutely dominate this one within an inch of their lives. So 17-point line. The traders are absolutely asleep.
Jay was already a man of the people, and now he's siding with the punter again, going against the traders. That's what we like. He'll be even more messages this week. He'll be your phone will be blowing up. The next game we look at is the Giants and the Blues, and GWS look to have found their mojo a little bit last week, but whether it will continue this week, the Blues, they had a pretty bad loss to Collingwood. Jay Clark, how does this one play out?
Look, I actually like GWS. I think they can continue their decent form here. I know there's a big question mark over Paddy Cripps, with his knee. He has laboured and looked a little bit sore. We know he's got a heart like Farlap, and Scotty Pendlebury claimed his scalp at the weekend. But I just think if Cripper doesn't play in this, and GWS with some of that running game, Lockie Whitfield has really become that defensive running focal point back there. I think GWS with the finals berth still on the line should win this, and I'm surprised they're not a little bit shorter, to be honest. So, yeah, I think GWS, either at the line or head-to-head, what is it, $1.55, $1.60, should be too good here.
We the line's set at about 11.5 at the moment. Jacob, will they cover that one off?
Yeah, they'll cover that off. I was about the biggest anti-GWS person about 4 or 5 weeks ago, but now I've gone the complete other way. The signs have turned. The numbers have turned around. So if you look at their last seven games, they've won the contested possession count by 14 or more in 5 of those games. They've won the clearance count in each of their last 7 games. They've lost the tackle count just once in their last 7 games. They've won the inside 50 count in their last 4 games. So they've turned their territory around as well. One really big piece, I think, just goes under the radar is Adam Kennedy. Being able to bring him back to a wing has been able to free up Lockie Whitfield to go into defence. So that's helped just give him a bit more energy and a bit more run in their ball movement as well. So I think their ball movement's coming along as well. All these things that we're really worried about with GWS are coming around. So just stick with them. I think they're going to have a big win here as well. If Cripps does play, take the unders on him, because I think De Boer, who is getting a bit of midfield time to do some defensive jobs, held 5. It wasn't a full tag, but held 5 to just 11 disposals last week. So if Cripps does play under injury claim, could be a good week to take him for the disposals under.
I just want to touch on one thing, and it came about by last year. I think, I don't know how much Ben Brown was leading the Coleman by, but Jeremy Cameron kicked, you know, 20 goals in the last couple of weeks to come over the top. Currently, Hawkins is $1.12 to win the Coleman, and Jeremy Cameron's out at $21. He sits about 13 behind. Is there any chance that he kicks a big bag? Because I know Kennedy's out this week, so you can, you know, almost rule him out. And then Charlie Dixon, I can't see him kicking a huge bag, but is Jeremy Cameron a chance kicking a massive one, Jacob?
He kicked 4 last week, which was his season high. But the Giants have a lot of options up forward. Riccardi, Himmelberg, Green. They're not in a position as well where they were last year, where they were pretty much locked into finals. And their last game was a bit of a show pony game where he kicked his big bag to win the Coleman. I don't think there's going to be any of those sort of performances out there for Jeremy Cameron. So if you can get Tom Hawkins, he's $10, just take that.
I think, Angus, on the season award market, I still think there's a bit of value in Dusty, to be honest, because Lachie Neal has pulled up the handbrake a little bit in recent weeks. Collingwood Brisbane this week, so you know Pendlebury will go to him, and he's just been in sensational form again, Scotty Pendlebury. So, like, I just wonder whether that Brownlow market, there is some value there. I know Dangerfield's having a very fine season as well, but Dusty is just, I reckon he might be flying under the radar a little bit. You can still get him at about 17, I think. And if he has another big game, I reckon his odds will really come in, especially if Pendles does a job on Lachie Neal. So I think there's some interest there in the Brownlow market.
You took the words right out of my mouth, but let me give you a better market to take him in. Dusty, $11 to lead the Brownlow without Lachie Neal in it. And he's, for some reason, he's still on the fourth, fifth line of betting. Our predictor has him clearly sitting second. Every time I watch, his numbers aren't huge, Dusty, but he plays in a Richmond team without big numbers. There aren't midfielders going out there getting 30 with him. There's not other key forwards. You know, Jack Rewa and Tom Lynch have had a couple of good games out there, but there's no one out there. You go, oh, clearly people are stealing his votes. And Richmond keep winning. So I love Dusty, $11 to lead the Brownlow without Lachie Neal.
Great value there. Yeah, he's sixth in the market at $19 if you just want to take him as a winner. Neal's popped out to $1.40 in that one. We will get to Lachie Neal's team. Brisbane, they take on the Pies in the last game of this shortened round. Now, the Lions, they're coming off a bye, and hopefully they've fixed their inaccuracy over that break, but I'm not too sure if they will have fixed that one up. Jay Clark, who wins this one?
I'm taking the Pies. So I think they're great value. What are they? $2.80. I think they're way too long. I mean, even at the line with a 14 or 15 point head start, they've owned Brisbane recently. I think they've won 6 out of their last 7, 8 out of their last 10. They've won their last 2 games against Brisbane away by combined 100 points, pounded them by 65 points, I think, in their last start. I think they match up really well. I think Brisbane's just been off their off their chaff a little bit. I don't think they've been, you know, they just got over the line against St Kilda. I think they've been a little, got over the line just against North Melbourne. As I said, Pendlebury versus Neil is a great matchup in the middle. And I think Collingwood have been using the ball better in the back half of the ground. I think they're creating more scoring opportunities by how they use the ball in the back half of the ground. I think Levi Greenwood comes in this week for Chris Mayne. It's a bit of a like for like. I think Brisbane is way too short. I think the Magpies can sniff a big kill in this one.
Jacob, so it's the Pies there for Jay. How are you taking this one?
Go the other way. I'm going to take Brisbane by the line. I think that bye was so important for Brisbane. They just looked gassed. Charlie Cameron clearly wasn't 100%. He was averaging 6 disposals and kicked just 1 goal from his last 3 games. So having that 12-day break will be really important for him. Even McInerney in the ruck looked a bit worn down. Lachie Neal had his worst game of the season. He just seemed like he needed that break, whereas Collingwood have got the bye next week. So they're the last team to get the bye. So they've had this just compacted fixture. They're the team that will be more tired, whereas Brisbane coming off the bye just at the right time. And as you said, they can maybe have a fix in their kicking. Eric Hipwood can have a few shots at goal. Everyone can have a few shots at goal. Maybe Dicko can go up there. Should get Daniel Rich back as well, which is a really important piece for the Lions. I just think that difference between Brisbane 2 weeks ago when they looked gassed and Brisbane hopefully in this game with that 12-day break should be a very different outfit.
So the boys on a different page there in that one. Now, before we get to the best bets, we will quickly touch on the snag stand. And there is one player that I know most weeks when Gold Coast are playing, Jacob would just be like, yep, Isaac Rankin, yep, just back him. It don't need to back it up with any stats. You just say, yep, what a player. Well, I've got a new player like that, and it's Jake Riccardi. All right, everyone loves him. I don't have the stats to surround it. This week in the article, I didn't email Jacob and say, give me some stats for this player. I just put him in and just said, just back him. Just, you know, just 2, 3, 4, whatever, just back him. Jacob, I'll throw to you to tell me some stats, but all I know is that every time he gets the ball, he looks like he wants to have a shot at goal. He's very hungry around goal and, you know, kicked 4 in his second game last week. Rising star nod. So I'm all chips in, Jake Riccardi.
I've got a few chips in as well. He kicked 6 goals from his first 2 games. And what we find with these mature age players is that their first season is just about their best. There's very few players that sort of come in and improve on their second season. So you can expect someone like Jake Riccardi to come in and have just an instant impact. And that's what he's doing for them. He's keeping someone like Finn Layson as well out of the side. That tells you how good he must have been playing in the twos before getting in to the ones, because Finn Layson kicked a goal in every single game and got dropped for Riccardi. So Riccardi, I'm on board as well.
Yeah, very handy player. Werribee Footy Factory. I thought Jay had something to say. I didn't want to cut him off, but we will go to his best bets. Jay, best bet, best Ruffy.
Yeah, I like the Tuesday night multi just to kickstart our footy frenzy off tonight with Hawthorne West Coast tonight, $2, and that'll sort us out for the rest of the weekend. And as a Ruffy, it's Melbourne by as many points as however many points you want to load up in that little box. I think 40 plus is the starting point. I really think they can inflict some pain on Sydney. So I reckon I'll have Melbourne at the line and Melbourne 40 plus, maybe a throw at the stumps, Melbourne 60 plus, something like that as the roughy. And as I said off the top, I think Collingwood can really notch one of the upsets of the season against Brisbane in that last game of the weekend as well.
And Jagger Wilson, your best bet and best roughy.
The best bet is Oscar Allen. You've got to get on quick because I think he's obviously going to charge in when people figure out that he's going to be playing full forward. You can get him at $2.50 for 2 goals. If you want a big throw on the stumps, he's $15 for 4-plus goals, but he will be playing key forward. My best roughie for the week, though, is Melbourne 40-plus to just embarrass the Swans. As I said, there's a lot wrong with the Swans stoppage game. There's a lot problems down back now as well. Melbourne get Bailey Fritch back. Melbourne are looking very hot. So 40-plus to get a percentage booster for the Demons is my best roughie.
And this the Nathan Wilson bet, are we waiting on the squads to come out?
Waiting on the squads, waiting on the odds to come out. But if you can get Nathan Wilson for 15-plus disposals, anywhere around the $1.50 mark, that'll be a shoe-in.
All right. Sounds very good. Bit of value there. Thanks again, fellas. Now, I did flag last week that we would let Jay do the closeout, but I wanted that for the last show. So we will save that for Friday because Jay's a very emotional man and we'll let him, you know, load up with all the tears and spit on the camera as he waves goodbye to everyone. So we'll save that for next show. But thank you, Jay. Thank you, Jacob. We did say, you know, load into the D's 80 plus, but I will say gamble responsibly. And we will see you on the footy fill up next week.